I am just sitting here thinking, I think I could write what it is that they're asking to have written to address whatever that technical concern is, and I'm just not getting why we're going through all of this and you just don't do
there,
that.
There are two reasons. Because the primary negative agent in this situation has been delay. That's what's damaging the neighborhood. That's what's damaged our ability to move ahead with the project. A quasi-judicial decision made by your adjustment committee is far more likely to be. We expect whatever decision is made by this body or by the adjustment committee, which is where that redefinition would have to come from, to be appealed to LUBA. We've been advised by our land use attorney, who would be glad to bring him up to get, to tell you his perception on this, that a quasi-judicial decision made in that process is much more likely to secondary appeal to the Court of Appeals, and that furthermore, the likelihood of the certainty of a legislative decision about this, the likelihood of it being is much higher. The likelihood of it conceivably being overturned by LUBA is much smaller. And as a result, we begin to feel that we have the sense of confidence to go ahead and engage with Golds and try to renegotiate our lease with them and try to get the project moving again with that certainty. What we're looking for is certainty. Let me add a couple more things. You're not alone in looking at the broader application of this. That's the other reason that both the Neighborhood Association leadership we went back to them when this choice came to us. We met with the leaders of the two neighborhood associations and said, we have two choices. We can go back through this process, or it's been suggested to us that we can go through a code adjustment process. And one of the considerations was that this does apply in other locations. The fundamental dynamics of making unviable buildings with second floor spaces that are currently performing anchor functions and the potential threat that offers in the other locations are the same. You're seeing the threat of new uses that you see as undesirable in larger spaces, which is a potential future threat. We are right now seeing the results of the threat of making unviable larger spaces and destroying the diverse retail ecosystem. So they both are balancing acts. So there are good legislative planning reasons to apply this to all the buildings to which it's applicable in the area. If the concern is the one you raised earlier about how large can these buildings be built, I've been operating under the understanding that you couldn't increase a building more than 150% of its current footprint. But why not amend the code to be very specific? In this case, to respond to, I believe it was Commissioner Saltzman's request about increasing it, we'd like the ability to increase the size of this building to fill in the what is now the loading dock in the mm-hmm. corner, mm-hmm. which the neighbors, you know, walking by an old loading dock, which is essentially an invitation to muggers and other unsavory activity is in everybody's interest. We'd be happy to see this have an amendment on it saying you couldn't increase the size of a building by more than 120% of its existing size. So you could add 20% to the size of the building. That would meet our needs, and that would guard against your concern. So I think there's some specific ways to deal with the problems you're concerned about, but there are not reasons to leave this neighborhood and us in the situation of suffering the unintended consequences and the impacts of what was originally poorly written.
I really appreciate your answer, but I I'm trying to think of how to say this in a way that doesn't rile you. But some folks are using the mantra: these are the unintended consequences of this code. And I feel a little bit like I'm in the twilight zone here, because normally I would have Linda and these folks understanding how important it is to have a process by which you could have some input into what goes in the neighborhoods, because generally 99.9% of the hostile mail I get from residents is, how come, Randy, you allowed a adult bookstore to go in on Interstate Avenue across the street from Chapman School, and my neighborhood did get notified? And I'm put in the horrible position of having to write back and say, unfortunately, that's allowed by right. There is no process by which you can stop that. It's zoned for that purpose. So I'm sitting here having this discussion with folks I generally am most likely to be right on the other side of. And so you keep using the term unintended consequence, and I was here and voted on this change. This is not, just to be clear, an unintended consequence. The purpose by which...
So just, you expected 31-month process.
Let me finish. Because I'm not really disagreeing with you, honestly. I mean, I'm not disagreeing. I think we're talking just on two different vantage points, because I'm not disagreeing with what you want to do. I'm not disagreeing that it's taken a long time, and I'm not disagreeing with where you want to get. I'm just disagreeing that we should rewrite the entire code, including redefining how large a remodel has to be, in order for you to tell the neighbors you're going to get a Gold's Gym, which, by the way, they are not necessarily going to get, and which, by the way, after they move in, may not stay. And so I'm sitting here thinking, but you're asking me to write a policy to address a particular building on a long street with a lot of ramifications that have to be amended in order to make it fit for your property, and I'm very nervous about it. So I guess, again, I'm just wondering why, and I'm very much sympathetic with the amount of time it's taken and money, but still, you're this far into the process. A decision we make here on this, even if you agree with it, can be appealed to LUBA anyway, and why wouldn't you just sit down with staff and define locally serving and address LUBA's concern? I don't understand what grounds by which anybody would have to appeal after that, once you've addressed the locally serving issue, because it sounds like they agreed with all your points but that. And it seems a fairly simple task.
May I respond?
Then, sure, please.
Again, the reason is that we've been advised that the prospect for delay is much greater with that process, one. And two, because there are other sites that this needs to be applied to. One is ours, the New Season site at 20th and Division, which is a similarly situated location. It functions as an anchor tenant. It's got a second floor. It doesn't. If you can't utilize the second floor in conjunction with what's there, if we were to ever lose New Seasons there and we want to replace the function as an anchor tenant, we'll be back in that same process. To have the prospect of a 36 months by process in order to resolve a solution with a dark building is not. I don't think it's what the council intended. And I guess I also want to respond to the idea that I've been telling the neighborhood they're going to get a Gold's Gym. I think we have been very transparent in this process, and I'd be glad to have you bring the neighborhood people up here about what our plans are and what the status of our plans are through the entire process.
I absolutely believe you, I hope you appreciate that what they heard and what I've got in writing here, I can share it with you, is they're getting a Gold's Gym. And you and I agree that that's not necessary.
There are different aspects of the neighborhood. There are individuals. And they're the official bodies of the neighborhood.
Understood.
And I think we are really underestimating the intelligence of the official bodies of the neighborhood if we do not think that they have considered the same issues that you and I are considering.
And I agree.
I'd like to make a comment that goes beyond the specific issue. And I'd like to recommend that the council in the near future, separate from this issue, consider charging the Bureau of Planning with developing a tool or process that enables neighborhoods to engage property owners in a collaborative manner to find site-specific solutions that are not appealable to LUBA. The appeals to LUBA are vulnerable to being used as a tactic to bleed a project to death. They discourage property owners from participating in them. They encourage property owners to build what they can do by right, which we could do the Clay Rabbit project here by right. The neighborhood would not have liked that. The long-term result of that dynamic is to strongly encourage property owners to do only what they can do by right and maximize development, and in the meantime, disinvest in the property. I enjoyed my time on the planning, my 5 years on the Planning Commission. I felt that we made a real contribution, but I've always regretted that we never tackled the need for a tool for collaboration that could get us beyond simply using the zoning code, which in some cases is like trying to do surgery with a chainsaw.
And I think the point you're making is really an honest representation of actually what this is getting to, which is this. And I just need to be clear about this. Mm-hmm. What you're asking the neighborhood to do is to give up forever, from between Southeast 7th and Southeast 60th, the right to interject themselves in a process to any commercial building by which this amendment would apply. And that is forever. So forevermore, not just your building. And let's just say you keep the building and your heirs inherit it, and for the next 200 years it's a Gold Gym, and it works and it prospers. But forevermore, the trade-off with the community is they've given up the right between Southeast 7th and Division and 60th and Division forevermore to interject themselves in any land use decision affecting, or excuse me, any occupancy that is appropriate to the zoning from Southeast 70th to 60th.
Affecting buildings greater than the limited number of buildings that are currently at the time this was adopted, greater than 10,000 square feet. And if you were to amend it to limit the possible increase of space to 20% above that, effectively you've got a limited number of buildings, and the neighborhood understands that. And you should bring the people up. The neighborhood association understand that, and they understand the trade-off, which is about the maintaining diversity of retail spaces and economic viability, and have made a decision based upon that.
Yeah. Well, the association has. I'm just saying that I think you would agree with me. Not everybody has that articulative understanding that lives in the neighborhood of that nuance that you and I agree.
But the process that we have are the neighbors associations and the business association. They've all supported, they've delivered over this. And the primary, from their vantage point, I don't want to speak for them, but from their vantage point, the primary unintended consequence that they realize better now, that's come in sharper focus 3 years later, is the delay as a result of the adjustments process. They wanted a say. They got the say. And then because of the inefficiency of the appeals process, we're not able to move forward on a project that the neighborhood is united behind. So at some point, I think common sense would prevail that we would be in a situation where when everybody's working the same direction, you'd be able to move forward. And to not do that creates a situation where one party can stop a development and prevent all desirable uses from locating on Division.
Well, if I could just jump in, the comment about the abuse of the LUBA system that you have claimed here strikes a chord with me, because there's a group called the so-called Friends of Urban Renewal who have put a cloud over everything that this city council has, in consultation with the community, has planned for the River District by challenging the boundary expansion. And that in and of itself has put a cloud over 10th and Yamhill, around the Grove Hotel, a new grocery store in Old Town Chinatown, and from my point of view, even more importantly, the construction of a resource access center, which is supported by both business and advocacy and is a cornerstone of our 10-year plan to end homelessness. So on the point about the ability of people generally to use the LUBA system as a way to build in some delay and to frustrate development, that resonates with me. The question that Commissioner Leonard, though, and you both discussed about this sort of compounding of unintended consequences is something that I want to ask staff about, because the one thing that I'm not sure, there's a part of this that I don't quite understand, which is we have an unintended consequence which this is intended to cure, which at least one of my colleagues believes runs the risk of creating other unintended consequences, or is a broader remedy than is necessary to cure the problem that you're facing, which is you know, generally a very, I think, thoughtful way of looking at any zoning issue that comes before us. But it presumes that we're powerless to come back and fix any unintended consequences of this fix if it turns out that this doesn't deliver for the community. I mean, the Planning Commission could come back and revoke this, or they could modify it, or in light of history, change it. So that's the conversation I want to have with staff when they come back. What are our protections? What's the neighborhood protections if, in fact, this doesn't deliver what they are hoping, which is at least at this particular site, a development which is beneficial to the community and creates unintended consequences up Division that, as Commissioner Leonard pointed out, at least initially, we could be powerless to address. And I'd like to know what our recourse is in that case.
Okay. Well, we still have, I think, a few more people who wish to testify, and then we'll bring staff back.
Could I just make one final point, if I could, that there are other goals that are good in the Division Street Plan. And part of the reason the neighborhood is willing to accept this trade-off to allow effective reuse of above-ground floor space to keep anchor tenants and to help surrounding neighboring businesses is because they would like to see projects move forward to be able to have green development, sustainable practice, pedestrian friendly, all of those things. Keep in mind, we are keeping the 10,000 square foot limit on the ground floor. The only change is how you're able to use existing space in buildings greater than 10,000 square feet.
And I promise to make this final, and I'll stop. But I think I want the neighborhood to really understand this point. The reason we are having this discussion now is because of the current code language. They have to come to you. They have to get permission to have a Gold's Gym be there. They have to. And the approval is based on precisely the kind of facility that you want to have there. And if it isn't the kind of facility you want, you don't have to agree to it, and it doesn't get approved. When we agree to this change, they don't need to come to you for whatever use they want to put in this building or the other buildings that are affected by this.
That's absolutely correct.
And my concern, and I don't want to for a moment suggest that I do not absolutely believe everything you're saying. I do. I've met with your representatives. I've met with others. I absolutely believe it. But you can't control what happens at the other buildings, and you can't control what happens in the future. And I've just been doing this long enough that I know the dynamics of neighborhoods, that it isn't going to be good enough for me to go, I told you so.
Yeah,
but they don't want to hear that, and I'm just I hope you appreciate. I'm just trying to make sure we flush this out transparently, and so everybody knows what they're buying when they buy.
Yeah, that's very appropriate, and I think it's appropriate also to remember that the code, which is the reason that we're having this discussion now, is also the code, which is the reason the building's been dark for 31 months. In the interest of full disclosure, I need to say one thing: we are not promising this development. We've been knocked. Our equity is gone, so we're gonna have a challenge to finance this deal, and we may end up having to sell the building. And we're gonna do everything. We're very committed to try to make this project happen, and we're gonna do everything we can to make it happen. But I don't want to sit here and tell you that this is what's going to happen.
I appreciate you saying that, because I just know that has to be. It has to be that way. You're a businessman. Yeah. It has to be. And I'm just worried that, notwithstanding your best efforts, that some of the neighbors have heard something different and they believe something else is going to happen. And I just know that you can't control that. And
I could just say, to wrap this up, Julia, you've now been on. You have been in the hottest.
Julia has homework to do. Yes.
Julia has a grievance here, but she's been in the hottest panel now for I think about a half an hour.
You could write a paper about
you,
this.
You said that you were elected to some office in your senior class. I think now with your exposure more broadly in our community, you ought to think about running for higher office. I think you're going to become a familiar face to a lot of our. And thanks for
thank you,
taking
Sam,
the time
for,
to be
I appreciate
with
your
us.
Answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The last two who signed up were Ann Seward and Lawrence Van Wess.
Is there anybody else who wishes to testify that didn't sign up? Okay. Welcome. If you could just give us your name, and you each have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Ann Seward, and I live at 26th and Carruthers, right around the corner from where the Clay Rabbit project was developed. And my husband and I came very close to moving that house, and so I'm pretty familiar with a lot of the details. And I just like to say I really appreciate your position on trying to protect the bigger picture here. And I really support this development, first of all, because I trust these guys, and I know them to have created New Seasons, which I consider to be a benefit to the neighborhood. And I'm going to try to keep this really short, so I'm just going to cut to the chase. I don't see why there can't be a sunset clause or something so that these processes don't have to go on and put like a good community-minded developer in the red and support these small businesses that are going out of business in the neighborhood. It makes me mad. And I'm pretty naive about the details, and that you guys probably sit in countless meetings every day about. But I think that's an important point here that I just kind of want to drive into the ground, that if there isn't a part of this process that can allow for that, maybe you can try to change that, because I'm sure there are hundreds of projects in neighborhoods all around Portland that have specific issues for every neighborhood. And maybe you can try to make that happen and let this gym open up.
Hi, my name is Lawrence Van Wess, and I have lived in this neighborhood. And I'm against this, and I'm going to tell you why. I've heard testimony from the local businesses that feel the pressure that they need their foot traffic and blah, 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 blah. And I understand. I feel their pain. But this, I've also heard out of the mouths of some of these people, two different things. Someone says it's not about the gym. I heard that. But the reason that the businesses are in the position they're in, it's because it is about the gym. It's all about this gym. If they wanted to develop this thing, they could have developed it 3 years ago within the parameters of the 10,000 square foot rule. I'm going to give you a small example. It's not right on Division, but it's like five blocks away. Go to the intersection of Clinton and 26th, a thriving little business area. I don't know, 5-6 years ago, there was a huge antique store right on the corner. Well, it ceased to be an antique store. Well, what did they do? They divided it down, and now there are four very small, successful businesses that are doing very well right there. If they wanted to get this piece of property developed, they could do it within what I consider the spirit of the neighborhood plan, which is to just what we're talking about. The whole reason it's there is to keep things small. And if it wasn't all about this gym, this could have happened 3 years ago. They could have developed and put in what? We heard some examples. Could have put in a video store. You could have put in any number of things within the parameters of 10,000 square foot rule. So my problem here is that, you know, I've heard say, well, it's not, well, the gym may not happen, but it's been about the gym. That's what this is about. And that's why it's vacant, and that's why the neighborhood doesn't have something in there, and that's why there are businesses that are having problems, you know, with foot traffic. It's because they haven't developed the property, because it's all about the gym. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So let's bring staff back up. I know there was a question by Charles about, is there a limit to how much square footage could be added, and I think Commissioner Fish maybe have some questions, and maybe Commissioner Leonard, but I know that was one that...
My understanding of how that works is that there is an overall limit imposed simply by the zoning, the base zoning designation of the commercial district with the floor area ratios. In terms of what constitutes using the existing building, my understanding is that it's a modification to an existing building, as long as the walls of that building or parts of that building are still there. So it's not based on a square footage expansion, but there's a practical limit to that in terms of totally upending the whole site and still
not like
keeping
100% of it. You can't build more.
There's not a percentage limit. I think what was suggested by some of the testimony is you could impose such a limit on this particular piece of code. We heard that suggestion just in the last few days and have that general concept the Bureau is not opposed to. We did hear comments from BDS suggesting that it would be more implementable to them if it was just a straight square footage cap on the top rather than a percentage, because it's less complicated to calculate that. But the concept could be done.
So let's take the thread of the last exchange and move back from this particular site and look the length of Division that it could be impacted. You're coming to us as part of a recap, which is a regulatory improvement code amendment package. So the Planning Commission believes that there is a reason to clean up the code in this area and that there is a compelling public interest in doing so. And if it impacts a substantial length of Division, presumably you believe that there are some public benefits that extend beyond this property. So just to remind me, could you just put those back on the record as to what you think are the broader public benefits of this change?
Yeah, I think the neighborhood articulated a lot of this, but the reason the Planning Commission, I think, recommended approval was in part the reuse aspect of it and the link between that and the sustainability goals of the original plan. That was
this property or the entire length?
Well, that would apply generally to the whole length. That in general, if we can reuse existing buildings, that's a good thing. From the Bureau's perspective, one of the things we looked at when we thought about this was this tool right now applies to one specific Main Street. We know there's interest in the future in looking at things like this and other Main Streets, and so we want to look at this tool in light of if we were to apply a tool like this in other streets, is this one working or not, and how can we make it work to make it easier to apply in other places if we need to? And one of the points that was made to us is that right now, if we wanted to apply a tool like this on another street, the stories from this controversy would certainly probably discourage other business owners from supporting that kind of approach in other streets. And so we thought that this approach might be a way to fix something that would potentially be a barrier to other streets considering this kind of thing if they wanted to. So that was another aspect that we looked at.
So the purpose here is to fix a problem.
Yes.
And there has been some concern raised that in fixing the problem, we could actually spawn another unintended consequence or something that either this neighborhood association or someone upstream is concerned about.
Wouldn't be the first time that's happened.
So again, would you just at a basic level remind us what recourse the neighborhoods, the commission, and we would have in the event that this does not deliver what we hoped it did?
Yeah, I think the two things would have to be true to be able to deal with that. One is that in theory, one could bring this up again in a future recap project if we found that after implementing it, it wasn't working. So that's one avenue. But the second piece of that, of course, is that that assumes you continue to fund the recap program in the future. And so...
Okay, is that, yeah.
That's a budget.
That was a budget.
Is that a budget note? Or okay, duly noted. But assuming this was funded, how quickly could a unintended consequence of this action be cured?
We bring this kind of project back through council roughly once a year. Our ideal would be 6 months, but sometimes it's a year and a half, depending on the complexity of these projects. We have the menu already more or less picked for the next package, which would come forward to you sometime in 2009. So it would probably be 2010 before you would be able to fix this if it didn't work.
So let me try to address a concern that Commissioner Leonard raised in the context of our current environment. Again, as the housing commissioner, I'm familiar with the fact that the bond market is in the toilet, the tax credit market is collapsed, and that most folks looking to do mixed-use development are having a very difficult time getting financing on the commercial space. So we're having to be very creative to jumpstart some projects. We're hoping that there's a stimulus package out of Washington, D.C., but we don't know whether that will happen or not. So in effect, what it occurs to me is that the current economic environment is going to put such a brake on development that, in fact, anything we do in the zoning area, the code area, is likely to be a pilot project of sorts because there's going to be so little activity that's affected by whatever we do. I mean, we're just in an environment where a lot of these things become pilot projects because we just don't anticipate a lot of activity. And we had testimony today about the Bureau of Development Services and the precipitous decline in revenues because people are not buying permits to do development because there's been the system is ground to a halt. So that piece is important to me, that there's a way we could clean this up if there was a problem down the road. But let me go to this philosophical question that was raised by Commissioner Leonard in his conversation with Mr. Amy. From a planning commission's point of view, are we doing something that you would otherwise caution against by going this route when he does have another potential recourse that would be more time-consuming and less certain? I mean, are we getting close to, like, you sometimes tell us not to do spot zoning, you caution us about certain paths, even where we all agree on the outcome. You often guide us in terms of what's the proper way. Is this particular proposed recap on this issue, does it set a precedent or does it take us on a path that we shouldn't be going down?
I think we would caution you if you were trying to say, let's limit this to this particular property, and we would bring up those issues. But because it's a broader issue, and because we have this similar issue on so many other streets in Portland, there is this pilot project aspect of this that you mentioned. So I guess that's how we would look at that.
So if I could just follow up with that. So... you heard me when I was talking to Stan identify what I understand, and I'd like you just to educate me, that it seems to me that the issue is not a Gold's Gym, and it's not some of what people think it is. The issue here is one that I'm real familiar with, especially when I was in the legislature and it was Republican controlled. It is this process is out of hand, and I want to do something to eliminate appeals processes because they end up costing a lot of money and it costs businesses a lot of money. And that's how I've kind of reduced this issue for myself to better understand that the real issue here is that the property owner does not want to go through these appeals processes because their timeline, as he's characterized them, as some unintended consequence, which I disagreed with. But having said that, when I look at the decision from Luba, it doesn't say that the process didn't work. In fact, everything that the developer has said he wants to do in the building, you guys have approved. That is, when you were at BDS, you guys. And,
okay.
Yeah. So it worked there. Maybe not a majority of the neighborhood, but neighbors didn't agree, and so they appealed to Luba. That was thought of in the development of this process, so I can't see how one would argue that's unintended. And then Luba remanded it back and said, you're okay, except for help us understand what locally serving means as it applies to this particular use. How difficult is it just to craft the language that, particularly given the scaled-down version of the project from the 33,000 to the 20,000 square feet, which I would think would make it even easier to argue is a local use. How difficult is it, in fact, just to write that language and say, okay, we've done it?
I think that could be done. I think what they were trying to say in response to that question earlier is that they're making a calculation that this route is going to stand up better, and it's, I think, based on observations people have had in the past that appeal courts are more likely to uphold the decision of a legislative body such as this than an adjustment committee when it comes to making those kind of policy choices. And when, especially when it comes to interpreting the code, it's been our experience that they uphold the city council's interpretation more tightly than the interpretation of a lower body.
It just seems to me, I guess I'm just sitting here, I know it's not directly relevant, but I think it's applicable, at least politically. When I think of the Northwest Neighborhood Association and the constant appeals of the garage on Northwest 23rd to Luba, I cannot imagine what the reaction would be if we proposed here somehow eliminating from our processes their ability to appeal those garages to Luba, which is not philosophically any different than what we're discussing here. It just so happens these guys agree with a particular use. And I'm just having a really difficult time.
But yeah, I view those comments as a larger commentary. I mean, I think people were saying there should perhaps be a limit to appeals, but I was thinking the same thing you were thinking. I'm probably sure the Northwest District Association wouldn't agree with that, but I don't think that's really the issue before us.
Could you tell us
the basis of how strong an appeal will be? I think.
Could you tell us again if we did not adopt this change in the buildings that would be covered by this already as of right? You could have gyms, they'd just be a little smaller footprint, right? You could have restaurants, you could have adult clubs. I mean, you have all kinds of desirable, undesirable uses, correct?
Right. Actually, I guess the one thing, if nothing was proposed and the code stayed as it was, all those kinds of retail sales and service uses could go into these these buildings, and they could go in by right just through a building permit or a tenant improvement up to 10,000 square feet.
Right.
Now, a super restaurant could decide to go in, featuring 30 famous chefs and, want to go in and take up the Rite Aid building, and they could still ask for the adjustment. They would go through the exact same process that the nature's building one, and they would ask for
the adjustment under
the current language. So it doesn't necessarily preclude it. It just forces the adjustment process.
Right. Yeah. So if a fantasy video, for instance, wanted to go into the current vacant building, they could go in by right at 10,000 square feet. But if they did like they do at other facilities, and they have these super big, like they do downtown on Burnside, these super large stores, they could still apply to use the second floor, but the neighborhood in that instance could go in and say, we object, we don't want that, and effectively stop it. Whereas if we make this change, there is no opportunity to go in and interject and say,
Well, and the objection would have to be based on the findings of looking at the purpose statement that's in the code, which takes it back to the locally serving and all the things that were touched on.
But going back to the notion of big box retail, and I think I know the street pretty well. I'm also thinking about, you know, Sandy Boulevard where I live. I mean, what with this proposed change, tell us, what kind of big box retail would be interested in locating one of these buildings and under what economic model?
Say, for example, on the division, because this current provision only applies on division.
Correct.
And I think it's from,
I mean, big box retail generally requires a lot of parking.
Right.
A certain kind of footprint. The buildings are generally not very distinguished. I mean, they're usually in places surrounded by buildings that aren't very distinguished, aren't, you know, the most architecturally interesting, but they're functional. Right. So what big box retailer is going to be looking at this as an opportunity?
And that takes us back to, I think, you're looking at probably the three locations that I know of off the top of my head that are currently or were single tenants. So the Old Natures, the New Seasons, and the Rite Aid, all three of which have associated parking with them. Most of those other 14 locations were either mixed-use buildings with very limited parking or, you know, medical office buildings. So once again, they may not necessarily have much parking. So you're not looking at that many sites that a big box retailer would be interested in. And then as well, they would have to look at, in some of these situations, you know, putting the retail levels on floors other than the ground floor.
So the New Seasons isn't going anywhere. Last I checked, it's a pretty healthy business. Mr. Amy has talked about a certain kind of ecology in these kinds of neighborhoods. So I take it he has a view and a vision for what ought to be there and the kinds of uses. So we're now talking about the Rite Aid site as the other site where there's some cloud over what end it could be put.
Right. As far as sites that kind of have that trifecta or whatever of, you know, larger building, associated parking in plenty, that's probably the only other site.
So just want to be clear that assuming the New Seasons continues to be a very successful business, which I take it it is, and assuming Mr. Amy is faithful to his sort of vision for how he wants to develop this place, there's one other soft site that where there could be an unintended consequence that a neighborhood could object to.
I think that would probably be correct. That, yeah, that 39th Avenue site is probably if we're trying to rank on what's most likely to go awry here, that would be the place.
We can come back, and if there was some egregious problem, you could bring back some proposed code changes to us to act.
Well, not after they...
Yes, but the risk, as I think you're alluding to, is that it might not be before it happened.
Yeah.
because once he gets an application into BDS, they have to process it under the code that's there at the time.
But, I mean, you are correct that the turnaround has been, I mean, the division vision, the code related to this has been in effect for about 2.5 years. It went in effect February of 2006. We're at the end of 2008 discussing an amendment. It's quite possible we could be in 2010 discussing some other element of that. But that's kind of the...
One other element that relates to, I think, Commissioner Leonard's concerns is and how the neighborhood has impact on these kind of projects is I think you're all aware that the city's been looking at the state legislature in terms of when they allow design review and when they don't. And that's certainly, we got the neighborhood input into this project through this particular regulation, but that's another way to get neighborhood impact over the functional look and of a building without getting into this kind of regulation.
Any further questions? Okay, thank you. So this is a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to a second reading next Wednesday morning. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks very much.
We're recessed until 2 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Council.